the heads of the scaled creatures. For a moment, she thought it had worked, but their hesitation was only momentary, and they all slid into the water, vanishing.
God, help us.
The engine was doing better as it warmed up. They were still a scant 100 yards from the gently sloping expanse of idyllic white sand.
They'll get us swimming up underneath. We'll have to try and shoot them as they come.
One's already out ahead of us.
She fired a blind shot into the water, kicking up a gout of spray. Unable to see whether she'd hit anything, she knew in her heart that it had been a wasted shot. Ryan was standing now, one hand on the tiller, the other holding his powerful blaster, his good eyes scanning the expanse of ocean all around him. He never even saw the monster that came out of the water directly behind him, one clawed hand reaching for a hold on the boat, the other snatching for the throbbing engine. Christie leveled the short barrel of the Smith & Wesson and fired a single shot. The bullet hit the mutie an inch below its left eye, drilling through the heavy scales on its cheek and knocking it backward into the frothing wake of the boat.
One shot left!
Ryan nodded. He knew that Christie didn't need telling to reload as soon as she had a moment, or that such a moment wasn't likely to occur in the next 30 seconds or so. Christie saw another of the creatures swimming strongly underwater, twisting and turning with the agility of a hunting seal, intending to come up alongside the stern of the boat.
There!
Ryan steadied himself, waiting until the ghastly head broke the surface, and then put a single bullet neatly through the top of its skull. There were now two corpses floating behind them, each with its pool of thickening blood, and there were still three muties somewhere in the depths around them. Christie stood and looked at the sea. The bright sun was bouncing off the surface, blocking the sight of any movement more than 20 yards away. It was as still as death.
Reload. Do it now.
Christie fumbled in her pants pocket and carefully took out four cartridges, sliding them one at a time into her blaster until it carried the full 5 rounds again. It made her feel just a little better. Better than nothing. A scurry of small clouds drifted lazily across the face of the sun, blanking it out for a few seconds, revealing what was happening below the surface.
There!
They both spotted the trio of muties beginning their attack on the boat. Sinuous blurs scythed toward them, spears stretched ahead like the thrusting horn of the narwhal. It was hopeless. Christie saw that with a chill of utter reality. All her hopes for a future with Ryan were about to be wiped away. They couldn't stop the muties from wrecking the boat, and in the water the creatures would simply rip them apart. Ryan throttled back, seeing the pointlessness of trying to flee. Christie gripped the butt of the Smith & Wesson, determined to try to take one of them with her. Out of the corner of her eye, she caught a blur of movement, something moving toward them at unbelievable speed, cutting just below the surface. Christie was rocked off her feet as one of the muties lunged at the bow of the boat, but there was only one of them. A second of the creatures had been hurled high into the air in a shower of spray, while the third waved the bloody stump of one arm, green gore jetting from its severed limb. Ryan registered what it was.
Fucking dolphin!
A second later, Ryan was thrown out of the small boat into the sea. Christie half turned, seeing Ryan vanish, but she was too busy trying to survive to help him. The dolphin had circled around, driving in at the wounded mutie, clamping its long jaws on the creature's skull. The scaled horror that had been thrown in the air had recovered and was swimming unsteadily toward the bow of the boat, where Christie carefully put two bullets through its muscular neck.
Ryan?
The dolphin had swum alongside and lifted its head toward her, as though it wanted to be petted or thanked for its help, which she might have done but for two factors. One was her pressing worry about what had happened to Ryan. The other was that the cetacean's jaws were clogged with glistening smears of brain tissue and tiny splinters of bone.
Ryan!
But Ryan couldn't hear her. He was 15 feet deep, with the pressure of the sea against his eardrums, tangling with the huge mutie. It was the most powerful mutie life form that he'd ever come against. If it ever managed to get a good grip on him, Ryan knew that it would shred flesh and rend muscle away from bone. He kept kicking and moving, trying desperately to hold it away from him. The mutie was hanging on to its ungainly spear, still seeking to stab Ryan. If it had dropped it immediately, then its vastly superior power and agility in the ocean would have brought a swift end to the fight. Above them, Christie was peering into the turmoil below her, totally helpless. The dolphin was watching her. Then it dropped back under the boat and disappeared once again. Almost blind, Ryan was only aware of blurred movement, not realizing that the dolphin had come to his rescue. It snatched a savage bit out of the mutie's arm, severing the tendons, making it drop the trident. But the amphibian horror wasn't done. It gave a surging kick with its webbed feet, closing on Ryan, its one good arm locking around his waist like a steel man-trap, squeezing the breath from his lungs. Ryan had the 6-hour in his right hand, and he managed with a desperate wriggle and kick to press the muzzle against some sort of the thing's scaly skin and pull the trigger. He knew the gun had fired because he'd felt the jarring run clear up his arm, but nothing happened. Ryan's ribs seemed about to cave in under the mutie's incredible strength, and his eye felt as though it were about to burst from its socket. His choices had come right down to one: pull the trigger a couple of times. If that didn't work, then the options dropped right down to zero. The Sig Sauer kicked twice more, and the creature's grip relaxed a little. Once more, and the hold was gone. Ryan thrashed his way up to the surface, narrowly avoiding cracking his head on the bottom of the boat. He sucked deep into his chest a great whoop of fresh afternoon air, blinking in the bright sunlight, staring straight into Christie's worried face.
You chilled it?
Think so. What about the others?
I got one, and the dolphin took out the other one for us. There aren't any more, lover. It's over.
Ryan felt the dolphin nudge him, rubbing itself against his thigh with what seemed like affection. He patted it on the side of the neck. With Christie's help, and pushed from below by the eager dolphin, he managed to climb wearily back into the boat.
You all right, lover?
Good as I will be.
Are we going back to the Institute now?
Yeah, guess so. Not much of a day out of the war, was it? Sorry about that.
You should never apologize, lover. You know that's a sign of weakness.
So they say.
The trip back north along the Keys was relatively uneventful. They saw no sign of any kind of threatening life. The seabirds sailed serenely by with their iron beaks sheathed. Once they saw a great whale breaching, its entire body clear of the water for a heart-stopping, magical moment. And once again, they both caught the bitter odor of sulfur, indicating further submerged quake activity somewhere beyond the horizon. When they were within 5 or 6 miles of Tomwin's Institute, their pilot dolphin went suddenly into a whirl of activity, standing on its tail, flapping its fins, staring at them as it sent out a vast string of its communication signals.
Sorry, I don't understand you.
With an expression that somehow managed to convey an almost human contempt, the dolphin circled the boat once, then set off toward the north at great speed.
I wonder what he was trying to tell us.
5 minutes later, they saw the gray thread of smoke on the horizon.
It was only a scouting party.
The armorer was lying stretched out on his bed, his Uzi on the floor by his side. Mildred sat at the table, along with Doc and Michael. Dean was outside, watching Tomwin's people finishing the job of damping down the fire in the empty building near the main entrance.
And no casualties?
Ryan leaned against the wall, eating a bowl of grapefruit. Christie was sitting on the other bed in the room, picking at a dish of spiced prawns.
I helped out after the pirates had retreated. One dead. A woman. She was near the gate when they came in.
Wounded?
Nobody on this side, Ryan.
What about the pirates?
Many a scurvy knave bit the dust, Comrade Corder. It is a good day to die. One for all, and all the people some of the time. I think that I have mislaid my words.
What was the body count on their side, JP?
We brought in 3 corpses. Think that one more will have bought the farm by now. He was helped away by 2 more.
So they came around noon, from the far side of the island. 7 in all, someone said.
I made it 8 of them, Dad.
I counted only 7.
Michael was staring at Dean, almost as if he were challenging him to admit he'd been wrong.
8!
Doesn't much matter, does it?
It could. You said 3 definites chilled, 1 maybe. 2 helped him away, that's 6.
And I saw a 7th, cutting through the brush back over the highway. Didn't see 8.
There was 8!
There were 8.
I saw the dead meat and the one with half his belly trailing around his feet. 2 of them helped him away. One of the others on his own was a black, and he was the one ran off toward the highway.
That's right. Had a red cap on. Tried a shot, but he was zigging and zagging like he had a rattler jammed up his ass.
So how about this other pirate you saw?
He wore a yellow shirt, tall, blue pants. He had a real long knife on his belt. Can't remember what sort of blaster he was carrying. Last I saw, he was down near the sea.
Did anyone else see him? No?
There was some thick smoke in the first few minutes, and a lot of panic from Tomlin's folks.
Not saying the kid's wrong.
Don't call me the kid!
Sorry.
I don't believe this. I'm going to go look where I saw him last. I'll show you.